Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote, and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, May 6, 2020. A Sudanese minister is in self-imposed COVID-19 isolation.
It is possible that we will be forced to extend the period of the lockdown. We expect to have more than 1,000 positive cases by Friday or Saturday this week.
And a South Sudanese lawyer says social distancing is a foreign language to some health workers in South Sudan.
It was very frustrating because I could not tell who I should talk to, moving from person to person, trying to verify.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A Sudanese Minister of Information is in self-quarantine after participating in a television show on issues to do with press freedom. The minister is the third Sudanese official who has gone into self-isolation after having contacts with suspected COVID-19 patients. For VOA News, Michael Atit has more from Khartoum.
Saleh posted on his personal account he went into voluntary self-isolation Tuesday because he came into contact on Sunday with a person who tested positive for COVID-19 the following day. Saleh says he will continue to carry out his official duties from home for 2 weeks. Saleh is the third Sudanese official to go into self-isolation within the past 1 month. Rashid Said Yaqub, the first undersecretary at the Ministry of Information, had earlier self-isolated for a period of 2 weeks but tested negative afterwards. Hashim Ibn Auf, the state minister of physical infrastructure, is in a self-isolation at home after coming into contact with an infected person last week. Over the past 24 hours, Sudan has recorded 100 new confirmed cases of COVID-19, bringing the confirmed cases to 778. 4 new deaths were reported, raising the death toll to 45. Speaking during a media briefing last night, Sudan's Health Minister Akram Ali Tom blamed citizens for not adhering to government health directive.
It
is possible that we will be forced to extend the period of the lockdown. We expect to have more than 1,000 positive cases by Friday or Saturday this week. We should not continue to witness this much increase in the number of cases. We are all aware of the limited medical facilities that we have.
Atom says Sudanese should be prepared for a number of cases to rise.
The current situation is not encouraging at all. The only thing that could boost our morale is when we hear that people are able to comply with protective directives lately put in place. When we hear and see medical personnel safe and are following the directives as well.
Atom says the country might not have enough capacity to provide health services to all confirmed cases. Said Nasruddin, professor of microbiology at Ahfad University for Women in Omdurman, says the only way to minimize the spread of virus is by following WHO preventive measures.
Now we have recorded 100 cases on a single day and definitely expecting more than 100 in the following days. I am following what is going on in the national laboratory. If you are testing 150 persons and the positive results are 100, things are very serious.
Nasruddin says social distancing and other protective measures are not only meant for citizens, but for all government officials and health personnel to avoid spreading the disease. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Some residents of Jubatown who visited public health laboratory where tests are being conducted for coronavirus say the center does not observe protective measures such as social distancing. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
Juba-based lawyer Ajon Noel says he undertook the coronavirus test, which is a COVID task force prerequisite for anyone who wants to travel to any of the states. Noel tells South Sudan in Focus that even though he managed to get tested, the process was tedious, partly because the health laboratory is overcrowded. He also says the center also has a limited number of testing kits.
It was very frustrating because I could not tell who I should talk to, moving from person to person, trying to verify where can we they take our samples from and all that.
Apparently, they used to take samples from the Public Health Emergency Center, but the day I went, I think, was the day they had taken decision that everybody must now move to what they call, is it the Public Health Commission, something where they used to process assessment of age opposite Juba Teaching Hospital. And we go to this other new place, and there was no one there.
Eventually, Noel says, health workers showed up only to tell him they are no longer working that day because the lab was overwhelmed. He said, according to the staff, they were using one manual testing machine. Noel says, no health workers were around to remind people waiting to be tested to observe all preventive measures, including social distancing. Noel says some people tested positive that day. He says the crowded testing center could expose people to the virus.
I also have those fears that, well, if I'm positive, how many people have I exposed to my family, and also the fact that I will not be able to, you know, take the travel that I planned.
Noel says many South Sudanese do not believe that COVID-19 is deadly, since no COVID-19 related deaths have been reported by the high-level task force in South Sudan.
We should be thankful for that, but we should not, be reluctant or undermine it, because that might be dangerous at the end of the day. Many countries that are suffering now undermine the disease at a point. They thought it was just a mere flu. At the end, when you see the statistics, 20,000 plus, 30,000 plus, 60,000 plus people death, dying.
Noel stresses the pandemic is real and urge other South Sudanese to strictly follow all preventative measures provided by WHO and the Health Ministry. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The World Health Organization is urging South Sudanese health authorities to ensure COVID-19 patients who are isolating themselves at home observe strict guidelines. South Sudan Health Ministry says more than 80% of the country's coronavirus cases are being managed at home due to inadequate facilities. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
COVID-19 patients are supposed to be cared for away from the public, according to World Health Organization guidelines. Dr. Joseph Wamala is the World Health Organization's Emergency Response Officer in South Sudan.
All confirmed cases should be managed in a designated treatment facility.
Dr. Wamala says while the WHO agrees that some cases can be managed at home, strict guidelines should be observed. For example, patients should only be allowed to step out of their designated homes under doctor's advice.
Ideally, they should not come out of the home until when they are cleared by the doctors that they are no longer shedding the virus. We also recommend as much as possible, if you are confirmed and you are at home, you maintain your own room. There should be no visitors. There should be one dedicated person to look after you. That person should be well protected.
Wamala says the same management is required for contacts. He says that includes quarantining contacts or suspected cases in a designated quarantine facility.
They should not move out of the facility. They should be followed up on a daily basis by a doctor to determine if they've developed fever or any other symptom consistent with COVID. We also ensure that they have access in those facilities. They should have access to basic amenities like water, like food. They should be able to communicate with their families.
Dr. Angok Gordon Kwol, incident manager for the Health Ministry's COVID-19 team, says managing the pandemic may have fallen short of international standards due to the challenges in managing COVID-19 cases in South Sudan, including a shortage of isolation facilities. Dr. Kwol says the COVID-19 team also faces challenges in tracing people who have come into contact with the confirmed cases because some people are uncooperative.
Others also are refusing to be tested. They think that it is better they are not known. Others, when we tell them that they are positive, no, they deny that I've not been sick. Or maybe it is you who came to me to test me, has given me the disease.
Kwal admits that managing COVID-19 patients in their homes increases the risk of spreading the virus. Wamala says WHO is trying to address that challenge by working with the government to expand the isolation center in Juba to 100 beds.
We're supporting the expansion of the John Garang Infectious Disease Unit to increase the capacity from 24 beds. We have recruited experts that are supporting the case management team that is currently led by IMC, the lead partner, to manage all the cases.
Wamala could not say how much money WHO has spent in the fight against the pandemic in South Sudan, but acknowledged that donors like the European Union, China, and other countries have supported the organization's activities. He says WHO has recruited experts who are on the government's COVID-19 team that provide backup support and collect samples from suspected cases. South Sudan has 56 active COVID-19 cases as of Tuesday. Two people who recovered from the disease were discharged on Monday. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, West Africa faces looming food crisis. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting until, you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam and you have to wait till, you know, probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that are mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that I know you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white-collar jobs are the most earning. But in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A recent U.S. assessment estimates more than 21 million people across West Africa will be short of food during the coming lean seasons between June and August, when food stocks are at their lowest. UN officials report they will need urgent assistance from the international community to survive. Lisa Strine reports for VOA from Geneva.
Armed conflict, widespread displacement, and climate change are pushing millions of people across West Africa, including the volatile Sahel region, into hunger. Added to this toxic mix is COVID-19. The World Food Program warns the pandemic is likely to more than double the number of people facing hunger by the end of the year to 43 million. It says the urban poor, who live hand to mouth, are most at risk. It explains people in cities depend on markets for food, and they have little ability to store and save food or money. WFP spokeswoman Elizabeth Beers says $74 million is urgently needed to provide crucial aid for the next 6 months in West Africa. She says the needs are likely to increase as the impact of COVID-19 becomes clearer.
If the response is inadequate, it would put the future well-being of millions of people in the region at stake, particularly women and young children. and could spell civil unrest in parts of a region already challenged by insecurity and violent extremism.
Beer says the WFP fears an estimated 12 million children could be acutely malnourished during the June to August lean season, up from 8.2 million in the same period last year. She says WFP is planning to pre-position a six-month supply of food stocks in the region. She says this will ensure enough life-saving assistance is available in case COVID-19 travel restrictions lead to possible disruptions to supply chains. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The World Health Organization, Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and World Economic Forum have issued guidelines to African countries looking to open up their economies after weeks of lockdown due to the coronavirus. Health authorities are concerned that opening up too soon could entail a fresh wave of COVID-19 cases on the continent. Simon Max reports for VOA from Addis Ababa.
With the coronavirus having thrown many African economies into a deep freeze, many governments are facing pressure to end lockdowns and travel restrictions so people can get back to work. But health experts say any country planning to reopen for business needs to do so gradually and based on science-based reasoning. In a new report, the WHO, Africa CDC, World Economic Forum, and Vital Strategies, an organization that helps governments strengthen their public health systems, say governments should first open up vital sectors of their economies and only when the data show it is safe to do so. They say the key figures to watch are the number of coronavirus cases, the extent of testing, and whether any outbreaks are accelerating. Machidiso Moeti, the World Health Organization Regional Director for Africa, said in a video conference that authorities have to balance economic concerns with consideration of public health.
The economic impact of the pandemic is going to be great anyway, and the measures are merely sharpening and making that worse on the most vulnerable populations. So there needs to be a combination of gradually releasing, analyzing the most critical economic activities that are to continue, including in some countries, agriculture. We've been very concerned about the lockdowns and their impact on agriculture for the future, not only for now.
Many Africans remain anxious about the near future. People in 20 African countries were surveyed for the report. John Nkangasong, director of the Africa CDC, said the report showed that 44% of respondents said they felt they were at high personal risk to COVID-19, while nearly 70% of people acknowledged that food and water would be a problem if they were required to remain at home for 2 weeks. He had this advice for Nigeria as it looks to open up again.
They should continue to expand and strengthen their public health systems, especially the testing capacity, and not just in the major cities of Lagos and Abuja, but all through the entire country. That way they will be able to pick up cases as they emerge, isolate them, and trace their contacts. That's the only way you can be sure to continue to function while maintaining a good handle, a public health handle on the situation in the country.
Nkangasong said the report made three key recommendations to governments across Africa. First, while caseloads are low, build up public health systems to test, trace, isolate and treat cases. Second, monitor data on how public health and social distancing measures affect the spread of the virus. And last, convince communities to adapt health measures so that people's livelihoods can be protected. Simon Marks for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
Some lawmakers representing Central and Eastern Equatoria in the National Legislative Assembly are accusing some military generals of bringing thousands of cattle from Jonglei State to the Greater Equatoria region. The lawmakers say the cattle could destroy crops and cause conflict between farming communities and armed pastoralists. Daniel Friday Martin reports from Yei Town.
In 2015, President Salva Kiir ordered cattle keepers from Jonglei, Lakes and Warap states to move their cattle out of the Greater Equatorial Region. The presidential decree was reissued in 2017 after cattle from other states destroyed farms in Greater Equatoria, leading to deadly clashes between farming communities and pastoralists. Many pastoralists did return home, but MPs from Central and Eastern Equatoria accused some army generals of defying the order. They say military commanders have brought thousands of head of cattle into the region, which have ruined farmland and destroyed crops. Speaking by phone from Juba, Alajabu Sebur, a lawmaker representing the capital in the National Legislative Assembly, says trucks escorted by men in military uniform transported more than 50,000 head of cattle from Jonglei to Central Equatoria and offloaded them in Lobonokpayam.
We know there are generals here in Juba, in Binsam, even some of them are ministers, some of them they are behind these cattle. Some are with trucks, some are going even without trucks, soldiers with them, with uniform and gun, and all are going there, like they are going for war in Lebanon. This is why we don't want these cattle to remain in Lebanon. We want them to go back.
Alajabu says the presence of armed cattle keepers roaming around the area is causing panic among people in farming communities. Beatrice Abe, a lawmaker representing Magui constituency in the National Legislative Assembly, says President Kiir's orders for pastoralists to leave Greater Equatoria was undermined by certain army generals.
The people who are supposed to implement it are the same people who hold the cows on the ground, so they cannot implement it. But the people on the ground are so hurt, they are so bitter. Definitely, this is a big potential issue for conflict. We just appeal to our president, let him cause these orders that he issued to be implemented. There are over 50 trucks that are brought to our area. Even in our compound, our cassava gardens are no more. Our potato, sweet potato gardens are no more.
Abe says the cattle keepers also harass farmers and local residents. Both Sebur and Abe warned that the thousands of head of cattle and well-armed pastoralists will likely lead to conflict between the farming communities and cattle herders. Speaking in Arabic, Simon Lokuji, a farmer and a community leader in Lobonokpayam, says pastoralists have been grazing cattle on farmland, which he says will probably lead to severe food shortages.
The cattle herders have occupied our usual farmlands, and there are other armed men following them. Three of our children in the community have been kidnapped at gunpoint, and instead of returning to Jongole, the cattle herders are coming to Lobonok with a big herd of cattle.
Lokuji is calling on the government to intervene. Joseph Oke, a farmer in Agoropayam of Magui County, says although farmers plan to use the COVID-19 lockdown to concentrate on farming, thousands of cattle have invaded farmland, destroying crops.
They occupied the land. We could not dig. Cattle are moving all around. Like when you put your vegetable, cassava, they are coming to eat. When you try to sell them from the garden, the owners beat you. Even the source of the water where people usually they go fishing, because the moment they get you, these cattle owners, they beat you. They are moving up different type of those big weapons.
Okay, is urging the government to order cattle herders to leave the area and return to Jonglei. Major General Lul Rai Kwang, spokesman for the South Sudan People's Defense Force, denies a few generals are behind the return of pastoralists from Jonglei, but admits the military has failed to regulate the movement of cattle keepers between Jonglei and the Greater Equatorial Region.
Civilians in the Republic of South Sudan are even heavily armed than the security forces. We have been having difficulties enforcing the presidential order on the cattle to go back to their respective areas. We have been escorting them back to their respective areas, and as soon as they reach, they would come back on their own.
Kwang says once the peace deal is implemented, the army will disarm the cattle keepers. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yetown, Central Equatoria State.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Sudan Information Minister Faisal Mohamed Salah is self-isolating after a person he came into contact with during a Sunday television program tested positive for COVID-19. Salah was a panelist on the program. One of the other panelists, a UNESCO official, tested positive after contracting the virus from his brother. Salah said in an online post that he began self-isolating yesterday. He says he'll continue to carry out his official duties from home over the next 2 weeks. Salah is the third Sudanese official to go into self-isolation over the past month. Sudan has recorded 100 new confirmed cases in the past 24 hours, bringing the total to 778. Some Juba residents who visited the public health laboratory for coronavirus testing say the center does not observe protective measures. Ajo Noel, a lawyer in Juba, says he went to the public laboratory to get tested so he could travel to the States, a prerequisite set down by the country's high-level task force on COVID-19. Noel called the experience frustrating. He said the lab was overcrowded, had only a small number of testing kits, and no one was around to remind people to practice social distancing. He said health workers told him they were using only one manual testing machine at the lab. And finally, the World Health Organization is urging health authorities in South Sudan to make sure that COVID-19 patients who are self-isolating observe strict guidelines. The health ministry says more than 80% of the country's coronavirus cases are being managed at home due to inadequate facilities. COVID-19 patients are supposed to be cared for away from the public, according to WHO guidelines. Dr. Joseph Wamala, the WHO's emergency response officer in South Sudan, says all confirmed cases should be managed in designated treatment facilities, but if they can't be, patients should only be allowed to venture outside after getting permission from a doctor. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Suwata by Emmanuel Kembe. We've been listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Suwata. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to stay at home, wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers. Join us tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.